We have a serious Bible study to do. That's why I'm not falling for your temptation to sing that song. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. For thou, O Lord God, art a shield for me. You're my glory, you're my glory.
One more time, the last time.
For thou, O Lord God, art a shield for me. You're my glory, you're my glory.
Can you say, my level is changing? My level has changed. Glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed in our teaching series so far? Can I tell you something? One of the most, I won't use the word frustrating things. Let me use the word. I'm looking for the right way to say it, that it doesn't sound too offensive. One of the grievances, okay, I think that's good. One of the grievances of a serious pastor, and I dare say of the Holy Ghost, is when people don't flow with what he's doing or what he's trying to build. Teachers can relate to what I'm saying. Just imagine you were a teacher in the secondary school or maybe even in the university, and you taught them something today. And then next week, you are building on what you've taught before, and somebody raises up his hand in the class and say, I don't understand. And then you ask him, what don't you understand? And he says, everything. And what do you mean? He says, from the very beginning. He was like, but were you not in the last class? He said, no, I was not around. Why didn't you come? Oh, did you go back to look at the notes? I couldn't look at it. That's why you don't understand. And so, under the church becomes intentional about this kind of build-up. We are not ready for growth. And by growth, I'm not just talking about numerical growth. I'm talking about the growth of the people of God. Let me tell you the honest truth. I knew, even when I was not yet called into ministry by the Lord, I knew that if I was going to do anything ministerially, it has to be church. You know, there are different types of ministries. There are some ministries that they have monthly prophetic gathering. People come, they pray, they prophesy, and they gather, they go. Then next month they come again. I like that. But if I'm going to do that, we'll do something that we'll build on, because you cannot just come and be prophesying and after you pray and go. After some time, there are things you're supposed to know. Are you with me? There are things you should be established in. There are things that when they look at your life, they know that ministry has been done on you. Are you with me? That phrase, when people look at you, they will know, you pass through somewhere. Are you with me? You pass through a proper ministry. It's so bad, we don't even know what it looks like again. Are you with me? We don't even know what it looks like. But well, that's why God sent us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. sometimes, you know, I've been seeing some things online that's been getting my attention. I saw, who saw that thing on social media? A pastor said he's no longer a pastor, he's now a native doctor. My problem is not even just that. My problem is, how did you become a pastor? So, who taught you? Who, first of all, who led you to Christ? Which church were you attending? Where were you discipled? And this is the reason why when people speak up, don't be quick to, when people speak up against something, don't be quick to despise them. Somebody was known as a porn star or somebody, an artist in the world, got born again 3 months ago or 5 months ago. After 5 months of being born again, you open a church. You open a ministry. And everybody's saying from where to where. People say, God works in mysterious ways. You don't know where the, you don't know how the encounter the person had. What do you want to teach them? Do you know what it means to understand the Bible? People say, oh, the Bible is not about intellect. It's about what the Holy Spirit just says. Do you know what you are saying? Whatever the Holy Ghost, God moves differently. That's why they can confuse you. I want to ask you a question. We have accountants here, right? It takes 4 years in the university. Abi, how long does it take to be chartered? Depending. Sometimes I can take 2 years. Sometimes 3 years. Sometimes more. And it's earthly money, earthly riches. How long does it take to become a proper medical doctor? After you've done general practice, you now have... you are here now. You know what I'm talking about. You're in the medical line. After your general medicine, you start checking if you are going to become a gynecologist or a pediatrician. Am I getting it? Pediatrics, right? Pediatrician. Or optometrist. Different specialty. And that one, you go and learn again. Do you know what it means to study the Bible? You think the Holy Ghost is not an intellectual? The Holy Ghost, do you know how serious? Let me give you an example. See why I like midweek service. Let me say this. It's like, that's why I used to just talk proper. Do you know that the Bible can be taken as a legal document? When you see the way the Bible uses scripture to interpret scripture, I'm not talking about what we are doing today or all the gymnastics we are doing online. I'm talking about when you study the Bible, the way the Bible interprets itself, you have to be an intellectual. Let me give you a good example. God was speaking to Abraham. God said, unto thee and to thy seed. Do you remember?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God said, this covenant is unto Abraham and to thy seed. And now, Abraham, in his own understanding, attributed his seed as Isaac. Are you with me? But don't forget, Abraham had another wife called Keturah and had 5 other children. So, my God. Follow me, oh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Abraham had 5 other children. But for Abraham, the covenant was going to be with Isaac. So Abraham thought that Isaac is the person through whom God will establish his covenant. Is it true? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that it was through Isaac that they had Jacob and then the nation of Israel. And then eventually, the Messiah came out from the loins of Israel, like the nation of Israel. Are you with me? But Paul now comes to Galatians and says that when God made that covenant, he says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made, he seeth not, and to seeds. Paul is making an argument with us. It is,
Oh my, are you seeing what's going on here? He says, he seeth not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. So, glory. So Paul is saying that when God was actually talking to Abraham, even though Isaac came, the actual seed was Christ. And, oh my God. And now, truly, it cannot be Isaac. Because if it's from Isaac, Abraham, the promise to Abraham was to thy seed. But Abraham had many seeds. And you think the Holy Ghost is not an intellectual. This is scripture we are reading here. So now, he or she that was a secular artist in the world, you got born again 3 months. You don't start fellowship. You don't start church. Do you know the kind of stamina? There are things you should have learned. The kind of stamina it would take to do ministry. Ask anybody who has done it for 5 years. They will tell you, the people who have done it for 10 years, 15 years, when a pastor looks at you and says, I don't know what to preach again. He says, I feel like I'll finish. What will you say? I've finished. The reason why you finished is because you need to go and eat more. You should have eaten well, eating more. Are you with me? You should have eaten more. Simple things like, can you lead a soul to Christ? Have you led somebody to Christ? When I saw those things online, I'm like, my problem is not even that you said you're a pastor and now you want to be a herbalist. My problem is, how did you become a pastor? Which church were you attending? Because for you to be a pastor, it is you are overseeing people. Before you start overseeing people, you must have been in a church where you were a member. Or you should have been in a church where you were a member, you were hearing the word of God, and then by the move of the Spirit and by the kairos of God, you grow spiritually and they commit like 3-4 people to you. Tribes. Self-fellowship. So you know what it is to begin to minister to people. People come and ask you, hey, why should we speak in tongues? What is speaking in tongues about? You will now be racking your head. How will I answer this person? You will now go back. study. You're going to ask your pastor. Your pastor, okay, look at this, check this. After ministering those people, they will say, okay, oh, this person was not around. Go and check on this other soul. You will go there. You will not know that it's a demonic case you're going to meet. Before you know, you will start learning how to cast out demons. Then in the night, they'll come and slap you. Why? You will not know that casting out demons is not just we have power. All the stories I used to tell you, where do you think they came from? It's process now. I can't forget one day. 2016, we went for youth service. There's something they call rural rugged, where they go to preach inside villages and all that. And so we went. And then went to one village called Zenke. Zenke, you were with us in that. We did the rally, did everything. Me, I was playing keyboard while the worship was going on. But then, while I was playing the keyboard, my eyes looked at a girl, a certain girl that came for the crusade. Her legs were like this. Her hands were like this. And she locked it. The way she did it, I knew that there was a problem. And the prison worship was going on, but I could sense the atmosphere was not flowing. So, even though I used to play keyboard in that fellowship, they knew that something is there. So I told somebody else, come and play the keyboard. I have some work to do. Now, before then, I started casting out demons in secondary school. So I went. In fact, my first problem was that people did not even notice what was going on. She was just there doing her thing. So I went to her back and hit the hand. As the hand separated, everywhere scattered. Started shouting, and started rolling on the floor. So while we were still even, before we could even try to pray, one guy came One guy rushed there. He was very muscular. He rushed there with his muscles, and his pack. Told all of us to shift. I'm like, I thought it was a joke. This guy pulled his shirt, see the muscles, with singlet and shirt. Said, "Do you know who I am? Now go, go." So me, with the boldness with which he came, I gave him space. Do you know what this girl did? She sat on the floor and started laughing. She laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and said, "You think it's by your chest?" He said, "See this one, please come out for here." Now they were calling me, come back and play keyboard. Ah! I said, "I want to see the way this thing will end." Oh. And that was going on. And then I used to have a friend that we used to pray together in the room. Sayidu. Because I didn't like the way the human being came. When he tried and tried and tried, he took his shirt and left there. And I went back to my keyboard and I was still playing. I'm like, you can't leave this lady like this. This lady must be free. So before I could leave the keyboard and come back, I saw Sayidu going there saying, "Hey, thank God, person with the prayer, make it go." Sayidu went there and he just touched her head like this. And she slept. Casted out the demon, she was free. Later, I said, "Thank you." I told him, "Thank you." Because I was feeling bad. I was the one that caused the wahala. Are you with me? So you should have a proper experience, a proper church, where Bible study is done. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
A proper church where they open the Bible, you ask questions, you are groomed, you are rooted inside. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So on Sunday, I said that to say that I want you to take our teaching series. Learn to gather everything. You will see when you begin to listen to the teachings together after a while. Those of you who have been doing it, check your life. Have you not noticed the growth? You will notice after a while, okay, this connects to what this person's, what pastor said here. This connects to what was said here. Now I get it. Are you with me? Are you with me? So on Sunday, we learned about what it means to be satisfied in Christ. You know, the entire series in August is Radical Devotion, the School of Consecration. Amen.
Amen.
And we talked about the marks of the man who is satisfied in Christ. We said, number one mark of a man who is satisfied in Christ is he will have what we call Jesus joy. Glory.
Glory.
And what does Jesus joy refer to? That Christ is the source of his greatest joy, his greatest satisfaction, and his greatest pleasure. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 16, it says, "Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy." Are you with me? The fullness of joy. So you can get joy from other things, but when it comes to Christ, Christ gives you the fullness of joy. Fullness. And then we said the man who is satisfied in Christ, he has learned to trust God. He trusts the wisdom of God even when it doesn't make sense logically. Pastor Faith, you got to this point, right? Praise the Lord. I believe you are blessed by... Somebody messaged me. The person that messaged me, when I saw his message, he said, "I was so blessed by..." He said, "Your wife is an amazing teacher." I said, "For you to message me, word enter." And then the last thing we said was that God is his first response in times of crisis. The man who has become satisfied in Christ, God is his first response in times of crisis. However, today, we want to go deeper into the subject of Jesus' joy.
Glory.
Glory. Ephesians 1 verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Say after me,
He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places
in Christ Jesus. So, He's telling you that before any kind of physical blessing or material blessing, the first level of blessing that we received in Christ Jesus are spiritual blessings. For instance, I can hold this mic. It's a natural thing. I can hold it. But when the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, can you hold peace? Can you hold joy? So it is intangible, but it's real. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And one of these blessings is joy. You see, like I said, the blessings are spiritual before anything else. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 5, from verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. What does that mean? When it says the fruit of the Spirit, as it were, you can say the evidence of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit, the proof of the Spirit. Are you with me? And you know that when a person is born again, when you believe in Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit to you. He gives you the Holy Spirit. We have talked about that before, right?
Yes, sir.
We have talked about that before, right?
Yes, sir.
That when you believe in Jesus Christ, he sends the Holy Ghost into your heart. You also know in John chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when you are born of God, you receive the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And it says, the fruit of that Spirit, the evidence of that Spirit is love, joy. So that means that joy for the child of God is a fruit of our spirits, is the result of our recreated spirit in Christ. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? Joy is not just an event for the child of God. In fact, I dare say that for the child of God, joy is a miracle. Joy is the miracle of the new creation. That other people look for things externally to have joy. But for us, it is the fruit of our recreated spirits. It is the way our spirit acts. That's the reason why on a good day, you will sleep and wake up, and you wake up with a song. The child of God, if he's sensitive, when he sleeps in the night, he will wake up with songs of joy. Some of you wake up with some old worship songs. I have seen the Lord's goodness, his mercies and compassion. I have seen the Lord's goodness. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. The person singing that thing may be going through a severe lack of ability. Let me put it like this. A severe absence of purchasing power. That's the acronym of SAPA. It's not WODO. It's acronym. The person singing, I have seen the Lord's goodness, may be going through severe absence of purchasing ability. But his spirit is not looking for an event to be joyful. It is the fruit of his spirit. Are you with me? And so what God expects is that in spite of what you are going through, you lean in to what God is doing in your spirit. In fact, that's one of the ways you know you are growing. That your life is not run by the events of your life, but run by the state of your spirit. A guy who has become matured in the faith does not judge things based on how they look naturally. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by a sight of our spirit and not by natural sight. So, for instance, you go somewhere. Like, years ago, I worked at a certain company years ago. And I left that company to do some other things. But life happened and I needed a job badly. And so I went back to that previous office and told them that, is there any space for me? And they were like, yes, there's actually a space. And so they called me for a meeting and then they were writing the contract. The contract looked good. Everything was fine. The pay, sharp. In fact, I was going to be paid commission. not just salary now, commission based. So everything looked exciting. But for some weird reason, I was not myself. I was not happy. I was not happy. So I felt like this kind of contract is supposed to make me excited. I'm supposed to be joyful. But I stepped out of the office and I was like, what have I gotten myself into? But Sapa was real. Ah. Oh, dear, 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 dear. So I said, see, bone. we walk this walk. 6 months down the line, I regretted. To even get the commission, at some point, I have to abandon to get the pay. Then I remembered what my spirit man was getting initially. So that means a carnal man will rejoice, but the spiritual man will say, wait first. Are you with me? Because he's not run by sight, he's run by faith, an invisible sight. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Say after me, joy is my nature.
Joy
is the fruit of my recreated spirit.
Glory.
Now, I want to say this also. Jesus ushered a new dispensation of joy by his redemptive work. You may never have seen it like this before, but I will show you in the Bible. Look at John chapter 16, verse 20 to 22. Now, if you understand the context of John 16 from verse 20, Jesus was on his way to die. He was on his way to the cross. Are you with me? And he began to tell his disciples, I'm going to be killed. And then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And the world in this context was referring to the people who will crucify him. Are you with me? They will be rejoicing. It says, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. This is the word for somebody. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Are you with me? He said, I'm going to the cross. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. Then he says in verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. This is a prophetic scripture. And I'm sensing I should talk about this for someone here. There's someone following me right now. Maybe you're online. Maybe you are here. Maybe you're in any of the branches. You are at a point where you feel like, can my life be worse than this? Can my life be lower than what it has become? What kind of why are there problems all around me like this? Why are things so hard? Why is my life so complicated like this? I want to show you something here. Jesus says, a woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish. Listen, just maybe you are going through a tough time because your next biggest breakthrough is close. When it looks like the pressure is too much and the pain, the anguish around your life is too much, you are like the woman carrying a child to deliver. Are you with me? He says when she gives birth to that child, she will not remember the anguish again. I pray for you. You give birth to your next season.
Amen.
I pray for you. You give birth to your next season.
Amen.
Your next season of greatness.
Amen.
Your next season of abundance.
Amen.
Your next season of lifting.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so, back to the original context, Jesus was talking about him going to the cross and his disciples and all of them being sorrowful. He says, because his hour has come. Are you with me? The hour for him to die, be buried, and resurrect has come, and to give birth to the new creation, to the new dispensation of righteousness. Are you with me?
Yes,
to the day of the New Testament church. He says, still in verse 21, for joy that a man is born into the world. See verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh it from you. So as it were, he's saying that when I rise again, I will give everyone that believes in me a joy that nobody can take away from them. Are you with me? Can you say after me? Because I believe in Jesus, I have a joy that nothing can take away from me. I have a joy that no circumstance can take away from me. I have joy that no challenge can take away from me. Nothing in this world can take away my joy, because it is Jesus' joy. It came from him directly. Nothing can take it from me. Glory! Are you with me? So Jesus ushered a new dispensation of joy by his redemptive work. This is why, let me tell you something, eh? When a Christian is perpetually sorrowful, it gives me concern. No matter what you are facing, it gives me concern. When you are a Christian and you perpetually love to be pitied, is a problem. Are you with me? The biblical Christian, in spite of what you are going through, you don't carry your problems on your head. You don't wear your problems like a shield. No, it's favor that surrounds you like a shield, not problem. Are you with me? You know, some people, they think that, oh, the more sorrowful I look, the more people will help me. It can work only for a season. It cannot be your formula for survival.
What's the problem?
My life. Every time, my life, everything, every time, every day, January to December, you just carry the problem. You don't know that people don't help because you have a need. No. People don't help you because you have a need. They help because they are compelled to help. And the compelling can come either because you are close to them. That's why somebody can meet you right now and say, please, my wife is in the hospital. My wife wants to die. I need, please, we just need money. And you are with 100,000. He's telling you, please give me 20,000. And you may be thinking, who is this guy? Do I know him? Where is he coming from? Why should I help him? If your mother calls you or somebody close to you and says, please, I need 50,000. There's an issue. Eh? Okay. I can sign you 25. You are compelled to help the person because of the depth of your relationship. Are you hear what I'm saying? So why didn't you give the first person money? It was not about need. It was what is compelling you. People help other people because of what is compelling them. See, like I usually say, people that are helped, God must help you first before man will help you. If God has not helped you, man cannot help you. Oh, you don't know? I've seen big wahala. When you say somebody has problem, this one, I had to call the person one day and say, you need to pray. You need to pray. He was so stranded. Everybody that tried to help him, they will always have block. They want to send you money, the app will stop working. I'm telling you. It will not work. They will send other people to work. When it comes to him, it will not work. Like that. When by the time he was telling me his own story, and I said, okay, let me, Pastor, let me. I tried. It no, you know, go. I caught somebody, please help this person. I forgot. That's when I say, brother, come. When they say life is spiritual, the guy has already told me I will get the contract now. Go and pray. You need compelling power. You know, there's something in the Bible called the commanded blessing. He says, I think that should be some, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's Psalm 133. He says, like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron down to his beard, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. There is something called commanded blessing. I pray for you. Commanded blessings follow you. Amen. After this service, commanded blessings come upon you. Amen.
commanded to remember you, commanded to help you, commanded to show up for you. In the name of Jesus.
Go and pray. Thank God that thing, that shackle broke. I didn't even need to help him again. But it's true. We just remember that thing. Come.
Praise the Lord.
So it's not by carrying your problem. No. The child of God, no, he goes with joy.
He goes with joy. It's the fruit of our spirit. It is the dispensation that Jesus has ushered us into. We have a joy that nothing can take away from us. Amen. Say after me, it's Jesus' joy.
Now, when you study the Bible, you will even discover that this is the kind of joy God wants us to have in times of crisis. Are you with me? I know somebody may be thinking, but the topic is enjoying God. Don't worry, we are getting there. In times of crisis, you need what I'm saying. Let me be honest with you. Part of the reasons why we are doing this teaching is because God has shown me that recently, currently, there is a weight of worry on a lot of people. There is a weight of sorrow across the world right now. People are going through high-level depression. People are going through high-level worry. People are breaking. See, if you're not careful, social media can be your source of depression. You just open, you're wondering, what is wrong with my life? And I will get to it later in this teaching. What's wrong with me? But well, for every crisis, God has prepared an antidote. Say after me, I have joy.
I have joy.
Like we're going to teach maybe this Sunday or next Sunday when we talk about the dealings of God. This is one place God will teach you to learn how to rest in Him. Remember, we have been talking about satisfied rest. How to rest in God. How to rest. That nothing will weigh me down. Let's do Bible study. I wanted to say something, but we still have a long journey. People who are close to me, who work with me directly, if you know what we have to cross every day as a ministry. One day, Minister Mark said, "Sir, I'm praying for you." Pastor, at this point, he said, "Now that I'm working with you closely, I'm seeing it's not just you to be praying for us. We should be praying. I'm praying for you, sir. Yeah? He said, "Now, so it be." I said, "You don't see him now. Church's business, start one now. Just start. It's not hard. Start." Let's move on. I was overwhelmed 2 Sundays ago. I went to see a bishop in the city. I went to his house. I said, "Sir, I will need that now. Pray for me. Sir, pray for me." I told him, "Sir, I need so-and-so. Then, do you know what he did? He called me. He took me to their project, their cathedral. Showed me round. And started telling me how much he needs here. How much he needs here. What I need. You need to multiply it times 50 to get what he needs." And I asked him, "Sir, why is this thing like this?" He said, "If it's not like this, you will not exercise your spirit." When he said that thing, he said, "When it's like this, you will now learn that you have to pull out the resource from inside." I said, "I've gotten what I need." Are you with me?
look at 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. Say after me, I'm blessed. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to verse 9. Okay, we'll do that one after. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to read from everybody. Please look at the screen. Read from verse 5 to verse 9. One, two, three, go. There is a reason why I said you should read it. Oh yeah, stop. We'll start again. If you don't read it, you will not get the flow. You know it's Bible study we are doing. So let's start again. Verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. First of all, you will miss verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have you not seen, ye love? Hallelujah. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm not convinced. You didn't get what we are reading. We'll start again. From verse 3. Let's start again. 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Say after me, I've been begotten again by his abundant mercy unto a lively hope, unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To our inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Glory! Say after me, I greatly rejoice in the salvation that Christ has given to me, and I will be revealed at his coming at the end. Glory! Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Some of you may be wondering, what is that if need be doing there? This is what we're going to talk about later, the dealings of God. What is that if need be? Are you with me? But prepare for that sermon. Let's go on. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, they are not reading again.
and be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory! Are you with me? So now, what I want to show you is, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So let's do discussion. What does this text mean? Connect. So to give you an insight, where's the second mic? Let's discuss. What does put verse 7 and verse 8 together? If you can look at it, raise your hand and tell me, what does it mean? Ife, you can say something, Abi. Look at it. Obina. Lagos Church is following. I wish I can give them a boom mic there to also hear what they will say, but... Is it complex a little? Okay, you want to try? Ah, please. Give her the mic. She wants to say something.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So from the beginning of the verse 7, that the trial of your faith be much more, there is comparing your faith with gold that perisheth. You know how precious gold can be and how expensive it is. So your faith is being compared with gold that perishes. So now back to the trial of your faith. That the trial of your faith be much more.
Continue. It's not a jam question. Don't worry. Okay. I think we are putting too many texts together. You know what? Remove verse 7. Give us only verse 8. I'll explain it, don't worry. Give us only verse 8. There is nothing pastors are doing. It's not to preach. Preach. Preach, preacher. Verse 8. So, try verse 8. Or can somebody try verse 8? Just verse 8. Verse 8, try.
So verse 8 says, whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom thou now ye see him.
King James would do you
something. So anyways, what I understand by this is the joy that we have is as a result of we believing in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So because we have believed in Christ, we have a joy that is unspeakable. You can't explain it, but because that we have believed in him, even yet we have not seen him, but because we have believed, we have that joy and we are full of glory.
Glory! Hallelujah. Someone else wants to say something. You want to try?
Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, connecting verse 7 to 8, this is how I'm understanding it. He is saying that our faith is compared to gold that is being tried. So
please reduce the movement.
Our faith, he's just using the illustration of gold to tell us that what gold passes through to reveal its true value if we go through situations, tests and trials and things, it is proving in us something very solid. And even if from verse 8 now it says, whom having not seen, ye love, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. What comes to my mind is, regardless of the fact that we are going through...
Good. That's where I'm going to go,
regardless
continue.
Of the fact that we are going through trials, you know, whatever it is. But because Jesus is the one who is, you know, our focus is in him, so everything that we are doing is in that faith, that confidence.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And so it's producing in us with joy, though we are not seeing, but we have this faith and we believe, and that is producing in us a certain joy.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You got the point. That you got the connection between 7 and verse 8. Today is not the day to go into the technicalities. I would have explained to you when he said, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Like what Sister Lovett said, the trial of your faith, he's saying that that process through which your faith is being tried is more precious than gold that perishes. Because the trial of your faith will produce in you a kind of resilience that will only come that way. There is a kind of resilience that a Christian ought to have that he will not have except he has gone through the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than of gold. So, from this group of verses, he's telling us that no matter how tough the challenge is, joy is still our response. Are you with me? Our love for Christ is unshaken. Our joy in Christ is unshaken. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Can you say after me, joy is my response.
Joy is my response.
Even in times of crisis. Now, another thing I wanted you to see there, he said in verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. So, you rejoice with joy. That means the raw material for our rejoicing is not a car. The raw material for our rejoicing is not a house. The child of God's rejoicing, the raw material is the joy that springs up within him because he loves Jesus. Amen.
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 Glory.
Glory.
So after me, joy is my raw material for rejoicing.
Joy is my raw material for rejoicing.
Joy is my raw material for rejoicing. Now, to cap all I've been saying, look at Philippians 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 3. Everybody read 1 to 3, go. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, glory, and have no confidence in the flesh. Read it again. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Something, my confidence is not in the flesh. My confidence is in Christ. I rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory. So, in fact, I expected more shout of glory when we got to that Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 8, it says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Say after me, I rejoice with joy unspeakable. I am full of glory. So now, why do people struggle with enjoying God? If joy is this intrinsic to our Christian experience, from all we are seeing, you can see that almost every part of the redemptive plan of God is laced
with this characteristic of joy. So why do Christians even now struggle in enjoying God? Why is it that there are a lot of people who, when you look at the way they go about their Christian life, it's all about duty but not delight? Why? Philippians 1 from verse 23 to 25. Give me ESV. ESV. He says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Look at verse 23. I am hard pressed between two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Verse 24. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Everybody, verse 25 now. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So he's saying, with all I'm going through, I, Apostle Paul, I want to die. I want to just die and go and stay with Jesus. But I will stay. I am convinced that I will stay with you for your progress and joy of faith. What's he saying? He's saying that I will abide with you to ensure that you are growing spiritually. And he's telling you that if you are growing spiritually or if you are making progress in the faith, the result of progress in the faith will be joy of faith. Progress in the faith will produce joy in the faith. Progress in your understanding of God will produce joy in God. It's just the same way when you start trying to learn a software and you are trying at the beginning, it seems like you are not understanding anything, but then you keep on following and then you made more progress. You are more excited, right? You know, there is a joy that comes knowing that you can do this thing better now. After a while, you are understanding it much more. You are excited. Your joy is increasing. He's telling you that that's the same way you enjoy God. When you begin to have progress in the faith, it will produce joy in the faith. Praise the Lord. And now pay attention. The devil will do all he can to ensure that he hinders you from progress in the faith so that you will never experience joy in the faith. Let me give you a good example. Have you ever been in that place where you said, I'm going to pray by 6 p.m. and then 6 p.m. came and for some weird, stupid, annoying reason, you just said, I'll pray by 6:30. And then 6:30 came. Somebody just called you. Very urgent call. You took the call. And you started answering the call. Then it was 7 o'clock. And then after 7 o'clock, something happened. Now 7:30. Then you say, you know what? 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Some of you can relate. Some of you did not pray that prayer that day. Then you just felt angry. Sometimes it can even be so serious, you know that you are going through something. You know that you are going through a tough time. You are just overwhelmed and you know you should pray. Or you know that if you just spend time praying and worshiping, you will be better. But somehow there is this slowness, this drag. You know what's happening to you? The devil knows that if he allows you get there, you will experience progress and you experience joy. And so, in order to deny you from that joy, he slows you in progress. All of you can relate to what I'm saying. Check the days that you woke up early in the morning, you prayed, you joined devotion, you just felt happy going out. There was this, you know what's happening? The progress you made that morning with the Lord produces joy in the Lord. And so, you see that thing where you say, oh, I'm just struggling with my prayer life. You are not necessarily struggling. You are struggling with the devil. What you need to do is not to pamper it. The way to pray, if you want to experience progress, is not saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, You just start like this. I'm sounding somehow. That is the way to do it. Look at Jesus. You think I'm making it up? Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said he entered and he fell. He fell on his face and started shouting, if this cup be away from me, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. That's the way to pray. If you are trying to wait for your emotions to catch up, it will never catch up. Because that's the name of the devil. He can play on your soul. Some of you can relate to what I'm saying. Have you ever been in a state where you don't even know what made you angry, but you're angry? You know what's happening? He's playing on your soul. He's drawing the strings on your soul. Sometimes he uses demons to do that. Let me find trouble. Have you gone somewhere before, especially a church gathering? You just see somebody, you get angry. You don't like the person. You cannot explain why you don't like the person. You just... What did the person do? She too do. What do you mean she too do? You know, go understand. Leave him. She too... What do you mean? What's that? You know what's happening? He's playing on your soul. He's playing on your soul. And so... You outsmart the devil. Can you say after me, I am 10 times ahead of Satan? The way to pray, let me tell you, you really want to have a prayer life? You really want to make progress in the faith? You will never have a convenience time. You will never have a perfect, you will never go, you say, this year, 3 to 6, I'll be praying. This year, 5 chapters every day, there will be some days. So now we busy you. He will move your boss. Your boss, that time he said, okay, 9 o'clock, I'll be at home. He will ensure that 9 o'clock, you are still in the office. So the way to do it is, the same way you carry your phone, everywhere you're carrying, that's how you should carry Bible too. As you reach home, and open it, don't be waiting. Be playing the sermon as you're on your way home. Are you with me? Progress in the faith will get joy in the faith. But the devil will try to slow you down from having that progress. And as long as you don't have progress after a while, when you keep on going for years and you're not having commensurate progress, you will stop enjoying God. Do you understand what I just said? Yes, this is the major reason. After a while, even some of our parents fell into this thing. So number one reason why many people are not enjoying God is lack of progress in the faith. Because progress in the faith begets joy in the faith. Another way the devil slows you down from progress in the faith is comparison. 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 Satan uses comparison to destroy joy. See, comparison is a thief of joy. Yo. Comparison will bring you to a place of complaining. And complaining will attract demonic entities. You may not have heard that before. I'm telling you now. That's why when you start complaining and complaining, you won't even know when you start crying. When you start gauging your life with somebody else, you were happy, you now open Instagram. And just so that your friend, that you know that you were more well-behaved than her, they have proposed to her. Hey! You just hold yourself. You say, I'm happy for you. But Satan is poking you. He's poking you. Sometimes you ask yourself, what's wrong with me? It may not even be that. It may be, you know, somebody called me one time. He said, my friend just bought a car, 30 million. So I felt like asking him, why are you telling me that your friend bought a car? He said, I don't know. David, I don't know. I don't know. Why is my life like this? Why? I felt like telling him, you have a job. They have promoted you twice. Comparison is a thief of joy. The devil wants to bring you to the point where you start complaining. If you look at Numbers 21 from verse 4 to 7, the Bible says in verse 4 that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Give me King James. They were discouraged because of the way. the soul of the people. Remember I said the devil's zone is the soul, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because of the way they were discouraged. Is there anybody who is discouraged in the way? Please tap your neighbor and tell them, don't be discouraged. Because of the way, sometimes you see, the journey sometimes can be. And they began to complain, verse 5. And the people began to speak against God and Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? This was the same Egypt they were saying, oh God, deliver us from. There's no bread, neither is there water. And our soul loathed this light bread. That's the manner they were calling this light bread. You know, there's some bread you buy. When you take one slice, it's too light. This light bread. Now, it says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and much of Israel died. Now, what you are not seeing here, you know, the Old Testament is a graphic part, is a graphic part of the Bible. So many of the things that will happen spiritually in the New Testament will happen naturally in the Old Testament. So when you are seeing fiery serpents here, you are not really getting the point. But when you come to the New Testament and look at Luke chapter 10 verse 19, it says, behold, I give you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So what are serpents? In this case, serpents represented demonic spirits. You attract demonic spirits when you complain. When you start comparing yourself like that, some of you, Satan will just come. It happens to ladies a lot. Look at my face. I'm too slim. I'm too fat. I'm too this. I just like, bah, I just this. Then you now have one friend. That friend is also feeling bad about her own shape. And you say, I wish I'm like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? That person is also saying, the person will be wishing to look like you. And you are wishing to look like her. Comparison. Continuous comparison. But can I tell you the solution for comparison? You need to understand that God has a very, very unique plan for you that is not on repeat. God has a very, very unique plan. If you know how unique God's plan is for your life, even twins don't have the same, God doesn't have the same plan for them. Maybe that's why they don't have the same fingerprint. Are you with me? Okay, I have to round off right away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, rebuke comparison, rebuke complaining, and anything that will distract you from progress in the faith, deal with it. Are you with me? Deal with it. Do you also want to enjoy God? Just do the word. Do the word. Because you see, joy is not just a gift, it's also an instruction. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4 verse 4. You cannot hear that text and keep quiet. Yeah. Say after me, I rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yeah. I say rejoice. Yeah. I say rejoice. Pastor, see, so you learn to say, because of God, I know where I'm going. I rejoice in the Lord. I do not rejoice in the things happening in Nigeria. I rejoice in the Lord. If you are waiting for your miracle before you rejoice, that means your miracle has become your idol. Yes. Father, I thank you because a better job is coming. I rejoice in you. I thank you because I have customers. I thank you because I have high-class customers. I rejoice in the Lord. James 1 verse 2. my brethren, counting on all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's an instruction. I will count it all joy. Are you with me? That's doing the word. Doing the word. Some of you, you know, one day, there was a day from morning till night. I think my wife even noticed. I was telling myself, I'm not a failure. I rejoice in the Lord. I'm not a failure. I rejoice in the Lord. I am more than a conqueror. I rejoice in the Lord. You have to tell yourself that. You know, praise the Lord. This thing, you see this thing I'm talking about? You will, no matter how high you get, you will have to deal with it. Remember one time, I was feeling bad. Oh, this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want this. After praying and telling all God the things I want, I opened my phone. Almost five people messaging me. Sir, you are an inspiration to me. Sir, you're an inspiration to me. I wish I could just be like you. Sir, all the things you are... I like almost 80 people. I felt like God trying to tell me. Choose to do the word. Simple things like even the fellowship of the saints. Let me tell you, if you can stay around brethren, you will be more in joy. And I'm not just talking about gossip partners. So I'm not just talking about people who are full of kind. I'm talking about brethren who talk about Jesus, the word. Then you can eat together. You stay together. Most times in a healthy church, after church, they don't easily go home. That staying among themselves, there is an ignition of joy. And I'm not making it up. It's in the Bible. Look at 2 John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that what? That our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. So there is something that happens if you are really part of a church. Eh? Is it that thing where after church you just go, bye, bye, out? You are not part of that church. Some people say, I don't like to mind my business. So the last church I was in, that's how I was close to people. They're gossiping me. Don't worry. Part of the problem, the reason why they are gossiping is because they don't have enough kingdom burdens. That's why. No, when you win like 4 souls or 10 souls and 4 insulted you, you will not have the strength. Praise the Lord. Fellowship in the word also produces joy. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Glory! So, you know what we are doing? This kind of Bible study is what we call exhaustive Bible study. I don't do it every time, because it's long, as you can see. But so that when you hear the word of joy, anyhow you want to go around it, you have enough grip. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Thy words are found. So, in other words, spiritual progress too, like we are seeing here, will bring forth joy. And finally, still on that doing the word, things like learning not to worry, and that's where we are going to close. You see this one, even me, I'm learning it. Oh, I'm learning it. I don't know, but it's like God will always want to teach his people to walk on water. He will, you know, I believe in plan, you know. I believe in calculation. I believe in saving. I believe in budgeting. But you, in life, you will have at least once when all your planning will fail. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yes, there will be at least once in your life where you say, I look to you. Well, I'm going to talk about some things. Everything was going well until the dip happened in the crypto. Until the dip happened.
The great deep. I'm not going to talk about that one now. Jesus' name. Train yourself not to worry. Learn to cast all your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Everybody, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6. You know what? Let's stand up and read it. First Peter 5 from verse 6 to 7. 1, 2, 3, go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Farida, he cares for you. Can you say after me, he cares for me? Say, Jesus cares for me. Say it, God cares for me. Do you know what you are seeing here? That part of humility is learning how to say, God, I don't try. Take over. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. See, do your best. Plan, invest, save, calculate. But when you have done all, you care for me. You care for me. You know, my friend, one day in school, my friend Abiti, so he has come here before, that's why I'm mentioning his name. One day, he said, David, I don't think he was trying to give a quotable quote. He just said it. He said, I think the proof that a man is still breathing, that a man is, this is how he put it. He said like this. Please pardon me, it's not my quote, it's a quote. He said that a man is still breathing is proof that God has not given up on him. When he said it, I took my book and started writing. He said, I'm not saying anything deep. I said, no, that's deep. That you are still breathing is proof that God has not given up on you. Can you say it one more time? Lord, you care for me. Thank you for caring for me. I cast my cares upon you. I will not be lazy. I will work hard. I will do my best. I will pray. I will fast. But I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. I cast my cares upon you, for you care for me. Glory. Now say this one, I choose joy. I choose joy. I choose joy. I choose joy. I do the word and I choose joy. I joy in God. I enjoy God. I make progress in the faith and I have joy in the faith. Glory, 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 glory. Learn how to rejoice. Learn how to rejoice. I'm gonna dance and praise him. It doesn't matter what comes my way. The greater one lives inside of me. His name is Jesus. I'm born a winner, more than a conqueror. Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Shall ever prosper. The greater one lives inside.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
I'm born a winner. More than victorious. I'm ahead. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I rejoice. More than a conqueror, more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror.
conqueror.